Let me step out in the crowd here. Good morning, everybody. Y'all ready to start this thing up? Yeah, praise God. Does everybody got one of the some of the scripture sheets that wants one? Hopefully we'll have some more stragglers coming in along, you know, in the end here, but hope I'm not running everybody off either. But I am thankful for everybody who continues to come back. So thank you very much, and I appreciate y'all allowing me to try to exercise this gift. And I guess I was just thinking on my way here this morning, you know, with what's going on in Israel and everything, it's pretty serious, you know. And I was thinking about that, and also was kind of rocked this morning by the news of Anthony Staley. He went home to be with the Lord. And that... it hurt me, you know, to see that this morning. And, but I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking about what's going on with Israel. And, you know, what's going on with Israel is just the signs that the Lord's going to return soon, you know. Yes, praise God. That is a great thing. But it just, it's all the more news, that and just thinking about, you know, how quick life can go. Anthony was a strong, in shape, young man, man of God, on fire for the Lord, just a great all-around person, you know. And it can hit us just like that, you know, out of nowhere. And so to me, that's just... It just tells me even more and more that we have to be prepared, because you never know when you're going to take your last breath. You know, nobody is promised tomorrow. And, gosh, honestly, I'm not trying to put fear in anybody, but I'm just thinking, you know, like with we have this ally with Israel, and basically we've stepped up and said that if anybody tries to stop Israel from defending themselves, then we're going to step in, you know, and that's going to give people a reason to try to come after us. And we already know there's so many countries that are against us, you know, Iran and China and Russia, and they all want to come together and take us out, really, and this is just an excuse. You know, so I'm not trying to put fear in anybody, but I'm just saying you never know when it could be your last with all the things that's going on in the world and just unexpected stuff. So to me, it's just all the more reason to try to encourage everybody. You know, I just want to encourage everybody to live your life more for God. Don't waste any time, you know. There's no time to waste. It's an urgent matter that you give your life wholly to Jesus Christ and live fully for Him and full surrender to Him, because there's no time to waste. It's an urgent matter. This is serious. And, yeah, I just want us to be encouraged. Try to draw closer to God. Those of you who already know God, draw closer to Him, because the closer you are to Him, you know, the more His light is going to shine out of you and through you, and the more other people are going to be drawn to Him just by your witness. You know what I'm saying? And it's even more urgent that we try to tell everybody about Jesus. Right now is not the time to be a lazy backseat Christian. You know, we really need to...
Captain of the ship.
Yes.
I'm going to work on this thermostat. It isn't working, so just pay no attention.
Okay. The captain of the ship is back. I'll be the first mate then. How's that? Just for today only. But no, I just feel the pressing need to just tell everybody, you know, let today be the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if you don't know Jesus and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, let today be the day that you decide to follow Jesus, because you're not promised tomorrow. You're not even promised the very next breath that comes into your body. It is a gift from Almighty God. Every time you take a breath, Everybody just breathe in. That was a gift given to you by God just now in that moment. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It was a gift from God. Just like our salvation is a gift and he's offering it freely. He's saying, come on, I've got greater things in store for you if you'll come and receive this free gift of salvation. And then for us who are saved and already know Jesus, he's saying, let's go deeper. I got greater things I want to show you. You know, he wants us to be like Peter and John. He had 12 disciples, but Peter and John went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with him. You know what I'm saying? They seen Jesus glorified, and he wants to take all of us deeper in a deeper relationship like that. But anyways, praise God. I also believe in all the scriptures. There's so many scriptures that talks about Israel. And if you touch Israel, don't think you're going to get away with it. Just because they're a small state, don't think you can go over there and pick on and bully Israel. It ain't going to happen. And in fact, it's so awesome how God works, because they are such a small state and there's these other surrounding countries around them that want to wipe them off the face of the earth. But you watch. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen, because God's word is going to stand true forever. And it says in Amos, I can't quote it exactly, but basically God said that he is going to give Israel their own land and their own nation, and nothing will ever be able to take it away. Nothing ever can take Israel away. So that's God's chosen people, and the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Once he's chosen something, see, they may not even be following Jesus as the Messiah, but Israel as a nation, they are a chosen race, a royal priesthood unto God. And so everyone who's messing with Israel, they just need to really take heed. And we really need to be praying for Israel and praying for the family of Antoni. And So just remember those things as we pray this morning. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, for this gathering. I thank you, Lord, for every person who is here to hear the word of God and to try to come into a deeper relationship with you. Lord, your word says that if we draw near to you, that you will draw near to us. So God, we ask is that in our seeking, God, that you will allow yourself to be found in a new and fresh way, God. And Lord, we pray for your power, God, to be manifested in Israel, Lord. God, we pray that every enemy that will try to rise up, every enemy that even has the thought of rising up against Israel, shall be cut off, God. We pray, Lord, that your word would stand true, that you will not forsake them, Lord, but your glory would be manifested, God. We pray, Lord, that you would do this so that all nations will know that you are the one true God. You are the holy, the sovereign. You are the almighty, the alpha and the omega. You are the one who is and the one who was and the one who is to come. You are Jesus Christ, and you are the Son of the living God. And you are true, and you are right, and you are justice, and you are peace, and you are joy for your people, God. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you for this time of fellowship, God. And we just ask for the family of Antoni Staley, God, that you would just send peace and comfort that surpasses all understanding, that they would know where this man of God is, Lord. He's truly seated in the heavenlies now, free of all pain and sorrow, Lord, but he is full of your joy and in your presence, God, where we all long to be. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that you would allow yourself to be manifested, your presence to be manifested and to be felt here today, God, and that your goodness would be felt in a way that's overwhelming and would fill us up to the brim and overflow, God, so that it would pour out in the lives of everyone that we would touch this week. Everyone we come across and encounter would know that we have been with you, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, last week, we had got to talking about how we are the bride of Christ. And we had got to 1 Peter 3, where it talks about how wives are to behave. And, you know, that's really us as the church. But I want to talk about real quick just what got us there. So, the first scripture that you'll see on there is 2 Corinthians 7:1. And I did want to just I was really quickly just reminded by the Holy Spirit just now. I talked to a brother at the end of Bible study last week and was gently reminded, you know, to just stay humble and have humility. And I just want you to know that, you know, there was a time in my life when I got a revelation, and I would try to use that revelation to beat up on people with the scripture. I'm just being honest with you. And it would cause me to be prideful. You know, I'd get a little revelation, a little bit of knowledge, and then I think I have a closer relationship or I know more than somebody else, and it caused me to be prideful. But I did go through chastisement, discipline with the Lord, I believe. And I believe that I have matured in that area, and I don't feel prideful. So if I sing that way, I do apologize. I do get excited, and I'm very passionate about the Lord. And so I just don't want those two things to be confused. Passion and excitement is for the Lord. And I'll tell you one reason I'm so excited about Jesus. I pray almost every single day, and I say, God, please let me be excited about you today so that other people can see this excitement and they'll be drawn to you by that excitement. Because isn't it contagious? Somebody was talking last week. They said, you know, it was Andy during the Wednesday night Bible service. He said, you know, when you're around a baby Christian, they're so excited about the Lord, it's contagious. And it really is. You know, when you get around somebody who's on fire, it lights your fire up, you know. And so I pray for that. So if you see excitement, praise God. It's not a put on. I pray for it. And I'm simple enough to believe that if I pray and ask God for something, that he's going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So thank God. I mean, I just love it. And I love him and I love all you guys and enjoy this time. Also wanted to, talk again just real quick, we're talking about sanctification, which is holiness before God. And it could be taken as a burden, you know, like I'm trying to place a burden on you. But, you know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said at 7:3, I believe, he said, I'm telling you these things not to condemn you. This is not to condemn you. You know, it's not legalism to say that we should live right before God. If you think that living right before God is what gets you saved, that's legalism. If you think that you can work your way to salvation or work your way to heaven, that's legalism. But just wanting to live a pure and holy life, that's not legalism. That's a relationship with Jesus, and that's what he is going to lead you to do. It's just a natural reaction for a Christian who's been born again, who loves God. He has made Jesus their treasure, and they admire him. And when they see him and all his beauty and his greatness and his goodness, out of you will flow these things. It just comes out of you. It's natural. You don't have to be a put on. You don't have to strive for it. Yeah, it's a work. You have to put forth effort, you know, but that effort is your choice. You choose to put forth the effort, and then your choice is met with God's grace, which is his empowerment, which causes you to do his will. You see what I'm saying? So there's no legalism in it. It's all out of relationship. I'm following Jesus, and I see what he does, and it's so awesome what he does. I want to do that. I want to be like that. He's forgiven me so much, I want to forgive like he forgives. He loves me so much, I want to love like he loves. You know what I'm saying? He's so generous with people. He's so generous with me, I want to be generous like he is. I don't want to be greedy, and I don't want to be trying to hold on to the worldly wealth when there's people who are in need. I mean, I want to be like Jesus, you know, my brother. He's my brother. Anyways, 2 Corinthians 7:1. So again, this is not to put a burden on you. This is try to encourage you to go deeper in a relationship with God, because it is beneficial for our souls to do so. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the promises that it was talking about, and you guys can go back and check this on your own time, but at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the promises that it's referring to is that if you believe in God, then he will make you his people. But if you do whatever he asks of you and you obey him, then he will make you sons and daughters, which is weos, The mature ones, which we've talked about before, this is what all of creation is longing and actually groaning, waiting to see us manifest Christ's likeness. And it says, we perfect this holiness in the fear of God. And I talked about this last week, but want to reiterate, the fear of God is not a terror. You know, in John chapter 4, I believe it says that the one who fears has not been perfected in love. So that would seem like a contradiction if you didn't really look at that in the Greek and see what it meant, because that fear there is terror. Anyone who has a terror of God, if you're just terrified of God, you feel like you should cower away from God, like you need to run away from God, then you haven't been perfected in love, because love is going to draw you in. And those who have been perfected in love, when they make a mistake, they want to run to God and not from God, okay? And so perfecting holiness in the fear of God, this is not the, it's crazy because it's the same word, but it's not the same usage. And even in the Greek, it's the same word, but again, not the same usage. What this means here, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the fear of God is a respect for God that is coupled with behavior for our husbands. Okay? So it's a behavior that is coupled with reverence. It's caused by reverence for our husband. And God is our husband. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus is our husband. We are the bride of Christ. So 1 Peter 3, I'm just going to start reading 1 through 16, and I may stop and explain a little bit and then finish going back through. But it says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. I'll say just real quick, if sometimes, yeah, no, I'm just telling you the truth. This is real life right here. But just to prove how true this is, that they, if somebody's disobedient to the word, okay, how many has always been 100% obedient to the word? Good, okay. Yeah, everybody's telling the truth. So I'm not alone then, right? Sometimes I'm not always obedient to the word, and I wish I was, but not there yet. Me and Allie may be in an argument, right? And we might have a little disagreement. And Allie is so humble. I mean, she's so meek and gentle, what this scripture says that you should be, you know. And this says how the wives should act. And I'll tell you that she does a great job of this. And anyways, I'm not so humble and meek and gentle. You know, I have a sort of rough exterior. I was brought up really rough, and so that's God's still shaping the edges off of me. You know what I'm saying? He's smoothing the stone, I guess. But say we argue or whatever, I could be just kind of going off, da-da-da-da-da-da, this should have been done like this. I wanted this, da-da-da, you know, whatever. And then it used to take longer. Now it takes about 30 seconds of her not even saying anything and just continuing to do whatever she's doing, cleaning up the kitchen or cooking or taking care of the girls, whatever. And then I'm like, oh, man, Lord, I know, man. I'm over here acting like a kid. You know, I felt completely justified in my wants, and you know what I'm saying? I feel like I was in the right, but then how I acted was totally in the wrong. And but by the way that she behaves, it causes conviction on me, because I can see it's she's has a holy standard, and my not so holy standard next to it, the light that's shining off of her reveals, shines into the dark places of me at that moment. You know what I'm saying? And it causes me to repent. And I got to turn away from this. And then I apologize to Allie. And I used to let that, it used to go on a lot longer before. So this is how I know that the Lord is working on me. And I'm not perfect. So I'm not, we're talking about sanctification, holiness, and perfection. I'm not perfect, you know, but I believe, I can see where the Lord is getting me closer and closer and closer, but I'm still a long ways off. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. Yeah.
Constant dripping, like that.
Yeah, well, and praise God, I don't have to worry about that dripping faucet in my house. I'm just saying. But it's important for wives to look at this scripture, and you could say, you're trying to be legalistic. You know, you're telling me I should live like this, and, you know, there's a big attack on masculinity. You know, you're trying to be feminist or whatever, you know, whatever you could call it, bigot, I don't know, whatever the terms are. But you could say I'm trying to be all kind of things by just reading this scripture, but no, really, it is a beautiful thing for a wife to submit in this way and to behave in this way, and it's a very important role that the women play because they actually paint a picture for us men to be able to look at because, hey, I'm a little bit thick-headed, and it's easier for me to learn something when I can see it modeled in front of me. You know what I'm saying? And so you wives, you play a very important role in God's kingdom, so just so you know that. In the same way, you wives, be submissive. Now, think about this. We're the bride of Christ. So when we're looking at this and we're talking about the behavior of the wives, think about us. This is the way that we should behave toward our husband, who is Jesus. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. Check this out. With the imperishable quality. That means it's going to last forever. This quality is going to follow you even into and through all of eternity. That's pretty amazing. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. God places a lot of value on a wife submitting and behaving in this way. It's precious in his sight. That's what it means, it's precious. He places a high value on that. And so in the same way, us husbands and us men, the whole body of Christ collectively together, he puts a high value on it when we submit to Christ. For in this way, in former times, the holy women, the what women? Holy women, also who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. So how did the holy women of old used to adorn themselves? What did it just say? How were they adorning themselves? We know it's not merely external braiding of the hair and the dresses that they wear, but how did they actually adorn themselves? Yeah, both of those. With a gentle and quiet spirit, being submissive to themselves. That's how they adorn themselves. Whew. That's how we are to adorn ourselves. Just keep that in mind. We're the bride now. We're the wife. And this is precious in the sight of God. He loves the way a wife submits to her husband by respecting and obeying him. He loves to see this because it is a perfect picture of how we are to follow Jesus. As a wife respects and submits in quietness, so are we to treat Jesus, who is our husband, as the bride of Christ. Verse 6, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. So here we're talking about the fear of the Lord, having the fear of the Lord, causing us to want to live a more holy life, but it's without being frightened by that fear. Because again, that fear is a reverence and respect for God. It's not to be a terror and to be cowering away. So Sarah obeyed Abraham by calling him Lord. And verse 7, you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And Jesus does us the same way. He understands. He was tempted. got the scripture down, we'll talk about it later, but he was tempted in all ways just like us. He knows how weak we are in the flesh, and he understands us because he knows that we're a weaker vessel. We're not 100% divinity like he is, you know, so he realizes we are a weaker vessel. He lives with us in an understanding way, and so when we mess up or we fail or we make a mistake, he's there to encourage us along and to try to shake the dust off of us and not beat us up. I was talking to a friend a couple of weeks ago, and he had went through something, you know, and kind of felt like he failed in some areas and wasn't doing things according to God's ways. And I was just talking to him, you know, and he slipped up or whatever, and I wasn't beating him up. And he was like, "Thank you," know, he told me what he done, and he said, "Thank you for not condemning me," you know. I'm like, "Praise God, bro," you know. I said, I'm not trying to beat you up. Like, anytime I'm giving you advice, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to help you along, you know. And he said, "I don't see it like we're in the boxing ring and we got the gloves on and you're hitting me with the gloves." He said, "I see it like we're in the boxing ring and I'm sitting down in the corner and you're over there patching my eye up." You know what I'm saying? I just saw it when he said that. I was like, "That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. That's exactly what it is. I'm trying to coach you along. I'm not here to beat you up. I want to help you be able to get back in the ring and fight the good fight of faith strong." You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping to make you stronger. And I'll be honest with you, it makes me stronger just to be able to share like with somebody like that. And then especially to get to see them put it into practice, it strengthens me up. So it ain't just strengthening them. It is strengthening me too. And just like even getting up here and getting a share right now, I pray to God every time before I come up here and I say, "God, please let people get a revelation from this, something that will be life-changing, that will cause them to want to go and have a deeper relationship with you." I pray for that very sincerely. So I hope that happens. But when I get to sharing, it's also exercising my faith too. You know, the Lord has given me strength from it. And let that be an encouragement to you. I know I'm getting off subject here and I'm about to get back to it, but just let that be an encouragement to you too. The Bible says, "In season and out of season, always be ready to give an account for the hope that is in you." Always be ready to give an account for the hope that is in you. Share your faith, your testimony, and your hope that is in Jesus. It is for somebody else's benefit, but you'll be surprised, it will benefit you also. So praise God. In the last part of that verse there in chapter 7, it says, "So that your prayers will not be hindered." So just hold on to that, because he talks about it over here in verse 10. He's going to basically reiterate that at verse 11. To sum up, all of you be harmonious. This is verse 8. "Sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing." I'm going to say that again. "You were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, he must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." Over in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus, and it says he was anointed with the oil of gladness and joy because he had loved righteousness and hated evil. So here it says, the one who desires life, to love and see good days, he must turn away from evil, but not just turn away from evil. It says he must and do good. Again, you never, look, if you can read my shirt, it says, "Saved by Grace." You'll never hear me up here preaching a works-based salvation doctrine. Highly against that. But if we want to have a life that is full of good days and full of love, a life, the abundant life that Jesus talked about, then we must turn away from evil, seek peace and pursue it. We must also do good. Not that we're not going to get into heaven if we don't do good, But we will get to experience more of heaven here on earth by doing good. Look, we're literally being the hands and feet of Jesus when we go and do good. We're being his hands and his feet extended. We are a doorway up into heaven. Jesus is a doorway, but we are on his behalf opening up heaven and letting heaven rain down on people on his behalf. So for the eyes of the Lord, verse 11, it says, he must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I can't help but to think that that is a warning for those who are against Israel right now. The face of the Lord, you don't want his face toward you, but that's what's going on right now, I'm telling you. And they're getting to see it. They're getting to see little old tiny Israel coming back. Anyways, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. The promise here is that if you are in right standing with God, he will attend to your prayers. And now I'm not saying that if you're not perfect, he doesn't answer your prayers. Because I prayed when I was not perfect, and he answered my prayers. And if he didn't, I would not be standing here in front of you today. So don't think that I'm preaching perfectionism, that you have to be perfect. No, it's not it at all. But it does seem as if the scriptures here is indicating that a pursuit of a deeper level of right standing with him causes him to pay a special attention to our prayers. Last week, Andy was talking about Stephen, the martyr. And he pointed this out, and I never noticed this before in the scripture, how when Stephen was being martyred, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He wasn't seated. And that's the only time in scripture where it says that Jesus was not seated at the right hand of the Father. He was standing at the right hand of the Father. If you go from sitting to standing, you are paying a special attention. You see what I'm saying? And that's because he was walking in there's a good, acceptable, and a perfect will of God. Three different wills of God, and you can be in any one of them. But I believe in that moment that Stephen was in the perfect will of God. And when we're in the perfect will of God, and we're not always going to be, and so don't beat yourself up if you're not, but if you are in the perfect will of God, there is a special power that is manifested there because he is paying a special attention to you in that moment. And I got a note here. I said, and let me say this, that if you're not treating your wives right, and I don't always treat you, heard I said, I'm not always perfect with my wife, but I do want to be, and I try to be. But if you're not in right standing honoring your wives, then you're not in right standing with God. And that's what the scripture says right here. And I know that's like we just swallowed a gnat. You know what I'm saying? like what? That's the truth. That's what it says in verse 7 right there. It says that if you don't honor your wives and you don't treat her with respect, then God's not going to be attentive to your prayers. They're going to be hindered. It doesn't do us any good to just pray. It does us good to pray and be heard. So, anyways. Proverbs 9:10 through 11. And this is in the Amplified Classic Edition. I think that on your notes that the scriptures that I didn't put Amplified on, it's either Amplified Classic, I put AMPC, so you'll know. If they don't have anything beside them, it's the NASB 95 edition. Proverbs 9:10 through 11 in the Amplified Classic says, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. For by me, wisdom from God, your days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased." That's a great promise right there. See, we can't even begin to have wisdom from God if we don't have a healthy, reverential fear and respect for God. Can't even begin to have wisdom. And this fear causes us to worship in the way that we live our lives. The reverent and worshipful. So the way that you live your life is a form of worship to God. This fear causes us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It seems everybody is looking for the fountain of youth. There's all kind of medicines and makeups and surgery. I mean, they're just all kind of stuff to try to be younger and find the fountain of youth. But it's right here in the scripture. If you want to live life and see good days, then turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Chase after wisdom, God's wisdom. Because by God's wisdom, the years of your life shall be increased. That's a wonderful blessing right there. Thank you, God. Because I love to follow him. I fail, but I love to follow him. If I mess up, I'm trying to get right back on track because I love following him. And so you mean I get to do what I love to do and you're going to bless me for it? Praise God. That's awesome. Praise God. All right. Look at verse 15 in 1 Peter 3. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So we're talking about wives here, and we're talking about submissiveness, we're talking about obedience to Christ, all these things, and sanctification, it's all in here, but all over the place is this gentleness and reverence, just being in awe of who God is. And keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. So we know God as Father and Jesus is our brother. But do we know him as Lord? Do we know him as our husband? Do we know him as our master? Do we just worship God externally? Do we dress like Christians and talk like Christians? Or do we actually live like Christians with our behavior and attitudes? Is Jesus the master and Lord over our lives, behavior, and hearts? When God looks at our hearts, does he see someone who just loves him, or does he look and see someone who loves and respects him, who will quietly submit to him and do the things that he asks of us out of godly reverence for his holiness and lordship over us? See, God has called us for the purpose of blessing us with life, love, and good days. But he adds stipulations. That's why there is an if in there. If I were to hire you for a job and I say, if you come over to my house and you cut my grass and you weed-eat my bank, I'll give you $100. There's an if. There's a stipulation. If you don't cut my grass and weed-eat my bank, you don't get the money. You see what I'm saying? So in the same way, this is how the blessings of God come. And I mean, we're already blessed by being saved, but there's more blessings, too. There's just deeper things with God, and that's what I hope that we're encouraged to pursue after this study here. So we have eternal life when we are born again, and that can never be taken away from us. No matter what we do, it's completely without stipulations except that we believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths, and then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for all eternity. Nothing you can do can take you out of the Father's hands. But if we want love, life, and to see good days, it requires a certain behavior from us, a certain heart posture towards God. And this is to refrain from speaking evil or deceitfully, and we must turn away from evil and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. John 15:10 through 11, and this is out of the Amplified Classic. John 15, 10 through 11. Jesus gives us some stipulations here too. When he starts off, he says, If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that your joy and gladness may be full, may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is not a salvation issue. A lot of people try to take John chapter 15, abiding in the vine, abiding in the branches, and they try to say this is a salvation issue. If you're not doing what God commands you to do, see, he's going to cut you off and you won't be saved. That's not what it's saying. He cuts you off from his goodness and from his manifest presence because you're not cutting off the relationship, you're cutting off the fellowship, and there's a difference. So it's not a salvation issue, it's a joy issue. Jesus said, I have told you these things that my joy may be in you and my delight may be in you, that your joy and your gladness may be a full measure, complete and overflowing. You're going to have so much joy that it's going to overflow and bubble up out of you, and then people who come in contact with you, they're going to see that joy. It's going to be exciting for them. They're going to get infected by it, and they're going to become full of joy, and then they'll infect other people by it. You see how that works? It's a snowball effect. And Jesus said, that's what he's saying. He said, I have told you these things. The things in John chapter 15 about abiding in the vine and the branches. I told you these things. Why?
Because if you don't follow me, well, then I'll just send you to hell.
No. He didn't say that. He didn't say he was going to cut us off from salvation. He said, I've told you these things. I know that's harsh, but it's reality. Some people act like that's what it says, but it doesn't say that. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that my delight may be in you. He's delighted with the type of behavior that submits quietly to him, that is in reverence to him, that is gentle, and that is respectful towards him in behavior. John 15, 14 through 15, and then I'll wrap it up for this week. Chapter 15, 14 through 15, Jesus says, you are my friends if, here's a stipulation again, you are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. I do not call you servants or slaves any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing or working out. But I have called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. I don't know about you, but I want to be a friend of Jesus. And look what he says. Friends get in on what God is working out in their lives. That's pretty awesome, ain't it? Look what it said. It said, I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. And because you are doing what I'm asking you to do and you're proving yourself that you are my friend in this way that you behave and the way that you believe in the way you act out and live out your salvation with fear and trembling, in this way I see that I can trust you with the secrets of God. See, you're going through a trial or a storm or some type of tribulation in your life, and you can't see the outcome of it because we don't know the future like God does. But God knows, Jesus knows, because he's sitting up there with God, and God's already revealed the plan to him, and Jesus is listening to him, and he says, everything that my Father has revealed to me, I'm going to reveal it to you. So while you're going through this storm or this trial, this tribulation, all of a sudden you got peace. All of a sudden, you got joy that surpasses all understanding because the Holy Spirit is revealing to you something that only God the Father knew and you can no way know, and your fleshly mind is only revealed to you by the Spirit. That's a blessing from God that he promises that if we obey him, we'll have this type of relationship with him. See, if we're not obeying him, we're not becoming accustomed to how his voice is leading us. And if we're not accustomed to his voice, then we won't recognize his voice when his voice is speaking to us. When we're in the grocery store and he says, go over here and talk to this person and tell them that Jesus loves them. You say, man, I don't want to talk to them. You know, this is awkward. I don't want to just walk up to some random person. They don't look happy. You know? I don't want to talk to this unhappy person. What if they cuss me out or something? Just do it. He's telling you to do it. And if you learn his voice, and if you've listened to it enough and you've obeyed him enough, you realize that when you're in that situation and he tells you and you go over there and you talk to that person, they'll say, I've been waiting for somebody. Amen. I've been waiting for somebody to come tell me if God was real or not. I was praying that God would reveal to me that he was real. And you coming over here and talking to me about him has revealed to me that he is real. I know that God truly has sent you to come talk to me. I know I got to wrap it up, but just remember that. The closer we get to him, the more we desire to have a heart after he is, the more things he's going to reveal to us. And, man, is it not awesome to know, you know, that you're going to make it through when you feel like you're not going to make it through? You got a comforter, and you got a friend, you got a brother, and he's sitting in the heavenlies already, and he can reveal everything to us that God the Father, the all-knowing, almighty God has revealed to him. He can reveal it to us. So, Father, we just thank you for this word, God. Lord, I pray that it would not be a burden on anyone's hearts, God, or on their minds. And, Lord, I pray that it would affect our souls, God, so that we would desire to have a closer relationship with you, Lord, to just be in your bosom like John was, God, to be close enough to you to hear your heartbeat, Lord, so that when you tell us to go to the left or to the right, God, we follow. Lord, we go because we trust you, God. We can obey because we trust you. Even when it doesn't seem right, God, we know it's right because you're leading us to do it. And Lord, I just pray that every person here who would do this, Lord, that they would be full of joy, God, and that they would overflow and they would affect other people's lives, God, because their light would shine so bright on other people, God, that they would be drawn to you, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you be lifted up and that you be glorified so that you will do all the drawing, so that all men will come to you and taste and see that the Lord is good. Nothing of this world, God, but everything of you is good and perfect. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes alongside us, encourages us to walk with you more. Lord, and we pray for the anointing of the service today and pray for the anointing of the worship, God. We just pray that your presence will be thick and manifested in here on us today. In Jesus' name, amen.